When I learned that 99% of the deaths were happening internationally, it was shocking, of course, information that so many women were continuing to die in childbirth. But more shocking was that I learned at the same time that the U.S. was having a problem and that that problem was getting worse. I think any death that's preventable is one death too many.
I know it's complicated, but why? What are the top one or two reasons why maternal death rates are going up in America?
Well, one of the ones that's quite controversial is that care is over-medicalized. So we have this C-section rate, which is quite high and growing, and in some states it's very, very high. There are more women who are not high-risk pregnancies who are having medicalized births, which if you have one C-section, you're more likely to need a second C-section and so on. So that's one of the reasons. Chronic health is also another big one. Diabetes, obesity, both on the rise in the United States. That's contributing more every year. And also one of the reasons that kind of forces women into the C-section scenario, because when a woman is obese, she's more likely to need a C-section to deliver her child.
Why did you get into advocating for this issue? I mean, I believe it started with a complicated first birth for you, right?
Yes, I had a great pregnancy and first delivery, but an hour or so after I delivered my daughter, I started to hemorrhage. I had a retained placenta, and then because of the removal of that placenta, I started to hemorrhage. And it was very scary because I really did feel that I had done everything right. I was in the right kind of care. I was in the right place. And suddenly going from feeling very empowered to completely disempowered in moments was terrifying. However, learning from my own experience that so many other women go through this every year, I had no idea. You know, you look around, you look at film, you look at television, you read the paper, and you don't hear about this issue. And as soon as you start to talk about it, you learn that, lo and behold, others have had complications. Others have known someone who died. And I think that those stories need to be heard more. I don't think that it's going to make people not want to become mothers. I think they're just going to want to know more information when they do become mothers that will help them get the care that they need at the right time.
You're an ex-supermodel, I believe. And I guess it's pretty obvious how celebrity and profile helps in your cause and advocating. I'm wondering if in any ways it hinders you.
I guess it probably helps more than hinders so far, but I think really what makes me an effective advocate is that I've had the experience and that I care. I think any woman who's gone through childbirth, any person who's loved someone who's gone through it and watched them go through it, has the right to be able to speak on behalf of this issue. If you've done it, you're an expert in the sense that you have a story to tell and your story is important and your voice is important. So I think all of us have the opportunity and the platform to be able to speak out.
You're an advocate, an entrepreneur. You've studied at the Columbia Mailman School of Public Health. You obviously care passionately about this. You're also the mother of two children. I mean, how do you juggle all of this?
I think that it's more about integration at this point. I mean, everything that I'm doing is very clear. I know what my priorities are since becoming a mother. My work as an advocate is so tied to my role and my belief in making motherhood the best experience that it can be for women. And I have a great team that we work together towards these goals. And I know that because they're needed and because women have a long way to go still, that it's an important thing for my children to see as well, that I'm passionate and that I'm giving of my time and my energy to something as important and meaningful as pregnancy and childbirth and motherhood.
The UN Development Goals are coming up for reassessment. We're looking at the Sustainable Development Goals next this year. You've written an open letter to world leaders. What do you want to see in there?
We just want to continue the great work that's been done so far, right? We've got women and girls on the agenda. They're becoming more and more present at the top of the agenda. We need to keep them there. We need the health-related goals and the rights-related goals to stay present and focal. And it's a conversation that needs to continue to happen at the policy level and at that high-level UN forum. But to me, it's about bringing everyday voices into that conversation, not just having it be at that high level. These are conversations that can be happening from the grassroots and the treetops, and they should be meeting more in the middle. You know, there are so many opportunities for people to use their voice and to voice their opinions, and I see progress on that level every day. We just have to keep at it, and we have to, you know, continue to have our children keep at it and not become complacent.
Christy Turlington-Burns, thank you very much.
Thank you.